I was just ask everybody to pray for me that I won't strike the holy rock twice. You know? I mean, the meekest man in the world struck the holy rock twice. He got frustrated. And just really pray for me. And you can be a great leader and you can point people to God and still get to that point, right? As Moses did. But people are people, me too, and there's going to be trials within and without. And like Will was saying, there's going to be attacks. Anytime God's moving, there's going to be attacks. But there's also going to be a provision and a protection, and we receive that by faith. And so people can convince and build golden calves. You know how crazy we are? You know, like, we can do that. People can complain. They can bring back evil reports like the 10 spies did. People can get jealous. People can rebel. People can start conspiracies. And just pray that I don't strike the holy rock twice, that I'll be humble and I'll be patient. And also pray for everybody, that we can just walk with God by faith. And I was thinking of Moses. He had many excuses. Send someone else. You know, I wasn't called to be a pastor yesterday, but when I was called, that was kind of my response. And it took a huge trial to get me to the point to want that. So don't many people desire to be teacher, right? You know, so there's excuses. Moses stuttered, you know, or maybe he had a lisp. I don't know. He had a speech problem, right? And can you imagine that? Let my people go, right? Let my people go, or whatever he was saying. Like, he didn't want to go up there like that. He had his own insecurities and his own problems. And but God had called him to do this. And he eventually answered. Abraham, Dennis Karp said something that really struck me. He says, why are God's chosen people called God's chosen people? Because he chose them. You know, I mean, that's why. So, like, how did I get here? Because God called me. You know, like, I didn't do anything. God called me. And so I received the charge and recognize that this is a holy ground, and something that's holy should not be treated as common. And well, I can't do it alone. Number one, God has to do it. He is doing everything, right? Anything that's done, he's got to do. Number two, the elders have to do it. They have to hold my hands up and help me. And number three, you have to do it. And it's like, and you know, Aaron and her, that little thing, it can get very tiring. And I think John said something, somebody said something that worried about burnout, you know. Make sure I don't get burnt out. You know, it can get very tiring and just hold my hands up. But it's in more, think of different ways you can do that. Stuff, say a word that encourages me, that holds my hands up. Pray for me, that holds my hands up. You know, do things. Use your gift. That holds my hands up, you know. And then there's a direct something that happens when you're holding my hands up. You win the battle. Because you're fighting the battle, right? And so the relationships in the Bible, I was thinking about, there's a lot of relationships and there's not a direct correlation, but one of them's a husband and wife. And we have the direct correlation with Christ in the church, but with a pastor, I was thinking of husband and wife, there's a verse that says, a wife can build her house or she can tear it down. And y'all can build your house or you can tear it down. And you can build me up or you can tear me down. And that's so true. And so I charge you to pray for me, to encourage me, not tear me down, and not be familiar with a holy thing. I can fail. I can get familiar. You can get familiar. Look at Abraham and look at David and probably every other leader in the Bible except Jesus. There's tons of failures written in there. And they're written in there to show how human they were, right? And I'm human too. So don't expect miracles. Well, expect miracles through God, but not from me. Only from God through me, maybe. And also, when I have failures, I need to continually snap out of it. Like, maybe I need to be corrected, but maybe I need to be prayed for. You need to use discernment in that, and you need to pray about that. But I need to snap out of it. I was thinking I have a one-hour prayer meeting with some pastors, and anybody ever daydream when you're praying? Like, I'm like, this is holy. Like, I got to quit daydreaming. Like, what's going on here? Or they'll mention a verse in a prayer, and I'm like, where's that verse? I'm on my phone looking it up while they're praying about something else. I'm like, but I'm doing something godly. No, this, you need to focus and agree with them in prayer. This is something holy going on, you know? And I'm daydreaming, but it's about the church. No, you need to focus. This is holy, you know? Like, the same thing when we come together in church, you know? And when God's speaking, you need to focus. So I charge you not to be surfing or texting. I know we use our phones for reading the Bible, so there's no judgment. I don't know what you're doing. Nobody knows what you're doing, but you and God know what you're doing. Not to be daydreaming or sleeping. And if you are, catch yourself. And I know there's some people on here that are on medication. They can't help it. You know, no judgment going on, but it's holy. And I'll leave you with a quote from Mike Fincham. I don't know what good I'll do, but I'll go. That's what he said yesterday. He came out of outreach. He said, I don't know what good I'll do, but I'll go. And that's what I'm saying. Kind of like Isaiah. Here I am. Send me. But I don't know what you're going to do, God. You know, so anyway. And okay. I will get to the message, I guess. That was kind of like the message, but the message is short now that we get to it. Although I do have three introductions. Okay, is this thing on? I guess it's... That's on. How about... Oh, I clicked it. Oh, there we go. Oh, too fast. Okay. I think because that computer's there, my attention's drawn to this side, too. Did somebody drop some little mint strips or something? Anyway. Yeah. So... So last week, Pastor Raul, remember, who got to stay around long enough? You know, there's something that could happen from time to time. Somebody could come visit or whatever. And when I get people that love God, I like to hear them. And feel free, like, leave early. Go take a break, take a nap, come back, whatever, you know. Pescado is his last name. And I call him Pastor because he's got the gift of pastor teacher, and he used to be a pastor, but then his kid got cancer, and he was in America for a while, and he doesn't have a church right now, but he's still got the gift, and he's got the heart for people, like even me. You know, he's got that heart. And so he talked about rest, receive, and reveal. And everybody heard that. It was so good. Rest and receive. I like to receive. He said receive and use. Receive and use it, and then you reveal it. And he was talking about the Sea of Galilee. He called it the Lake of Galilee, I think. The Sea of Galilee, how it's like green. It's got fish in it. It's got green around it. And then it goes out, and it's green, as opposed to the Dead Sea. And reveal. So you reveal life. Awesome family. They're coming back through this evening. Last week, remember that message? The wind blowing in the mulberry trees or the troops marching on top of the trees? We talked about the same enemy in the same place Don't think you've got God in a box, because he could give you a different way. And don't go up the first way, go up a different way. And then he said to wait, and we'll talk about that a little bit today too, about waiting. But to wait till you hear the wind in the mulberry trees. The atmosphere changes, angels on top of the trees, the Holy Spirit moving, whatever it is, it's God moving, right? And so God moves in our life, I think, as God uses angels for battles, but we don't normally hear them. I think it would be the Holy Spirit in our life that we're listening for, right? I mean, God could make us hear them, but don't forget to entertain strangers. And then we talked about how God is the great I am, and now faith is. We trust him now. We talked about God gave the manna, and they got it for one day at a time. And when they tried to use it for 2 days, it didn't work. And then he told them, okay, get it for 2 days. And, you know, they're thinking, no, that's not how it works. My own understanding says, I got it for 2 days before, and it didn't work that way. It rotted and it stank. But God said, get it for 2 days, right? Even though before he said, get it for one day. And so we rationalize, and we don't think we know because it worked last time, and we don't think we know because it didn't work last time. We just need to trust him, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So today, I'm going to talk about this little verse here. And it's a song in Isaiah, and it's talking about Isaiah, but it's also messianic. It's talking about the Lord. He set his face like a flint. And and the New Living Translation says, because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. So determined to do his will. And when you do his will, you're not put to shame. And Luke 9:51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? To be crucified. But he steadfastly set his face. He set his face like a flint. This was his mission. He was following the Father's call, the Father's will, the Father's mission, the Father's thought, and he was not turning aside from it. He was set to do that. And so this also applies to you and me. You know, Jesus had a word from the Father. We have a word from the Father. We have a word right here, and he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. We have words from the Father. We have a high calling, a holy calling to walk with God, to trust God, and to be led by God just like Jesus. He was trusting the Father. He was led by the Father. He was called by the Father, sent by the Father. And we too face trials and tribulations, and we're called to identify with the cross in those trials and tribulations. And we too are not ultimately disgraced. Because the Lord is our helper, you know? Jesus rose from the dead. And when you, in fact, Romans 8:30 says that we have been glorified. You know, God's got this picture of us glorified, and that's ultimately not disgrace. He set his face like a flint, a stone, not moving. If God calls you something, to something, even to death, which actually that's what he calls you to. He calls you to identify with your flesh as dead and the new life in Christ, right? So a lot of times when he calls us, it's to death. But it's actually to life. Because, you know, Jesus went to the cross, but he rose again, right? And it's to life. He calls us to life, but it's through the cross. And Satan will attack your call. Whatever he's calling you to do, or you take up your cross and follow him, when you hear the call, and you're trying to be obedient to the call, Satan will attack the call. He will attack what God is calling you to do. He'll attack it. And he'll attack your thinking. He'll use other people, even maybe the most unlikely people, like Peter, the apostle. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Was Jesus talking to Peter? Yes and no. He said Satan, right? He probably wasn't talking to Peter. He was probably talking to Satan, who was influencing Peter. But he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And Satan was attacking his call. His call was, his face was set like a flint to go to the cross. And he said, "Oh no, not so, Lord. Don't go there. Don't listen to the Father. Don't follow that call." That doesn't make rational sense. It definitely doesn't make emotional sense, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I love this verse. "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." And I highlighted calls faithful and do. Or maybe he. All of them are good. He calls faithful and do. They're all good words in that verse, right? You can put an emphasis on any of them. And he calls you. He's faithful. He'll do it. And the context of this verse is that Jesus will preserve your spirit, soul, and body blameless. That's called the doctrine of preservation of the saints. So Jesus Christ will preserve, like, this is the context. So you're not going to do that because you've already failed, right? Your spirit, soul, and body, you failed in every count of being blameless, right? And obviously, he'll have to do it. He'll have to do it. And he's so faithful. So like in that calling, if he has to do it and he can do it, think about anything else he calls you to do. If he says you can do it, I'm calling you to do it, then he's going to do it for you, right? You don't actually have to worry about it. Like when you go soul winning, yeah, I'm available. What did Mike say? He said something like, "Here I am. I don't know what good I'll do." But yeah, in a way, like God's got to do it, right? Maybe God will do something, and for sure he will. Jacob, this is kind of like being determined. Jacob wrestled with God and would not let go until he got the blessing. And sometimes we wrestle with God over situations, right? And but don't let go until you get the blessing. Don't let go until you get the blessing. And a lot of times that blessing involves death. It involves a cross. Like you give in to his will, and then you'll see the blessing. You'll see the life that's coming out of it. And if God calls you to do something, for sure it's a blessing, right? For sure. And you might not see it now, but he, in his time, it's a blessing. And don't give up your blessing for a bowl of lentil soup like Esau did, you know? And so when we set our face like a flint to follow God, we actually have to be flexible in every other way other than following God. If that makes sense. You have to be firm but flexible. So you're firm in following God. I will follow God no matter what. And you're flexible in everything else in your life. Everything else can give but that. And the opposite of a face set like a flint would be this verse here. And it's regarding wisdom. It's regarding wisdom. "But let him ask in faith regarding wisdom, and with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So when we get to doubting, we become unstable. Maybe God's told us something and we heard it by faith, but then we start doubting. We become unstable. How do we become unstable? in all our ways. Because you just got to keep following God. And how do you regain your stability? If you're unstable, wouldn't that be something if a drunk person could do that? He drinks a whole fifth of liquor, he can't stand up, and then all of a sudden he can regain his stability. You just trust God again. You trust God again. He's like, oh, I'm not drunk anymore. I'm trusting God. I agreed with God. You need to step out in faith in whatever God is leading you. And when he gives it to you, so you ask for wisdom, right? Then he gives you some wisdom. Has anybody ever prayed for a leading and then you think you heard God and you keep praying for a leading? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Like you just keep praying? That couldn't be the answer. I'll just keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying. I've been praying and praying. I haven't gotten an answer yet because you're doubting the answer he gave you. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't be swayed by your emotions. And this is just from personal experience. So God's wisdom generally comes in three areas. Don't, wait, or do it now. So wait is probably do it, but just not do it now. So do it, so don't do it, wait, do it now. So we pray for wisdom, and then when we lack faith, we apply our own understanding, our emotions, something like that, and we respond to God saying don't to, but I want to do it now. Or, okay, God, I'll compromise with you. How about we wait? I just won't give up that thought, but I'm kind of open. I'm open to the idea of don't. You know, I'm open to it, God. I'll just wait and just keep thinking about it and keep praying. Maybe you'll change your mind. You know, so here we're unstable. You know, when we pray in faith, I think you have to receive in faith. Otherwise, you're still praying. And when you're still praying, you're praying in doubt, right? And then you're unstable. So God's wisdom, God says, wait. So wait. Sometimes he says, which could be wait. It could be wait and then don't do it. I'll answer you, don't do it, or wait and I'll answer you, do it. But say it's wait and it's wait, but I'm telling you, you're going to do it, but just wait. Don't do it now. And we answer, but I want to do it now. That's doubting. That makes us unstable. That makes us it can bring in all kinds of instability. What could be unstable in a Christian's walk? Something that's not ungodly, right? It could, love, the opposite of love is hate, you know, fear, like shame, like all kinds of things could be unstable, right? And so now the third one is, God says, do it now. And we say, I don't want to. I don't want to do it at all. I don't want to do it. And we're leaning on our understanding. We're unstable. Or we say, let's put it up. Do it now. And we'll be like, well, let's wait a little bit. God, did you really say do it now? And I heard you loud and clear, but let me pray some more just to make sure that you said do it now. And so that's instability too. So my own understanding, maybe something needs to be addressed. My own understanding says something needs to be addressed right now. I need to do this. I need to get it done. Get her done. You got to fix it, right? Fix it. And God says, wait. And I say, that doesn't make sense. God says, wait. My emotions. I don't feel like facing that. I'll bury my head in the sand like an ostrich, right? And God says, well, address it. And I say, but I don't like confrontation. God, don't we want unity? And I'll live happily ever after with peace? You know, and and God's like, address it. So then I step out in faith and find out maybe there's no confrontation. God was totally right. And either way, God's totally right. Whatever happens. And that's the other thing, too. if it's addressing your call, whatever happens, happens, because it's, the call's up to him, because it's up to him to do it. So if he tells you to do something that seems inconsistent with that, then it doesn't matter, because the whole thing's up to him anyway. So trust his wisdom, not your own. And there is a wisdom that's from below. You know that? We have our own understanding, but then Satan can bring in a wisdom from below. There's a wisdom from below. He can come in and bring some imagination or argument, like in 2 Corinthians 10:4, one verse says, arguments or imaginations, casting them down. But he can bring in an imagination that's a wisdom from below. And it's very unstable. It's not his wisdom. It's not asking him in faith. And it's listening to some other wisdom. And Christ, he didn't doubt the Father's wisdom like a flint. And I will say that for a while now, I've been called to be a pastor. And then specifically, I've been called to be a pastor here. And I've gone through all this, you know, seasons of instability and seasons of rock solid flint. I'm not moving. I'm not touching. And I notice whenever I'm doubting God, there's instability. No matter what kind of pressure is on there and you're trusting God, there may be pressure, but there's stability. Yeah. And when you're in a season where you're unstable, you're tossed around. And when you trust God, there's wisdom. And I was thinking, too, of the calling. When you get a calling from God, it's not a, like, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord, but it's not just a, and I won't even apply this just to the a pastor, but whatever you're doing, whatever God calls you to do, it's not just something light. It's something high. You know, it's not just an occupation or vocation, but even it could even be going and changing that shade over there or something. I don't know. If you hear God saying do that, that's like something high. That's something high. And every one of you has a gift. And functioning in that gift is your calling, for sure. And sometimes God calls us to function where there's nobody there with that gift, tells you to go do it, even though you're not talented in that, you're not gifted in that, and God tells you to do that. And if God tells you to do it, that's his wisdom, and just trust him. And so the Lord will help me. And we're the body of Christ. And hopefully, God is true to his word. And he will use me to equip you for the work. Now, this is you right here, in case you didn't know that. That's you, and that's work. You and work. You didn't know that, did you? That God has called you to do work. That sometimes people just don't realize that. They come and they're like, I want to go to a church where I and God leads me and I and me and I and I get ministered to and I do this, and I want to go to that church too, right? But you also, that's you, and God has called you to do something else too, in addition to that. So, so that's good. And then maybe Aaron and her, you know, you think about that. You ever hold your hands up or out, like as a punishment? One of my teachers used to make, well, if you talked in class, you had to stand there. It's like, oh, I got so heavy. So if you're holding your hands up for a long, long time, anybody, You do like work in the ceilings and stuff, right, Alan? You know, like if you're, you know, your arms get really tired, you can't hold them up there forever. But imagine if you're holding somebody else's arm up there. I bet your arms would get tired too, right? And so anyway, and together we'll walk with God. Yeah. And you'll build me up in love, and I'll build you up in love, because every part, that's us, that's you, that's me, that's everybody, has a portion. Everybody has a portion. And even supernaturally, I think when people come in and maybe they don't think they're doing anything, just your smile and your presence, somehow God is using you and you don't even know it. And when we're listening to a message, I believe that, you know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there he is in the midst of them. I believe an anointing comes on stronger the more people are believing and concentrating on his word. And that, like, have you ever prayed with somebody like that? Like, you pray with somebody and they've got so much faith, like all of a sudden you have a lot of faith, and it's like very inspiring. The same thing happens in the church. As we're listening to a message, as we're worshiping, the same thing's happening. And anyway, it's great. Amen.